this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I'm mindful that the service is focused on remembering those that we've loved ones that we've lost over the last year or so. But also, you know, they say that the first half of our lives is all about gaining things and growing. And so we gain family and parents and we get married and have children, and it all grows. The second half of our life is more identified, not entirely, but more with losing things. And yes, we lose family and friends, but also we lose other things. We lose some of the skills that we've learnt. Sometimes we lose maybe health. We lose just our abilities and faculties. And there's something else. Memory. That's right. Thank you, Oliver. Thank you. Someone got it. So our memorial service this afternoon, yes, it's focused on loved ones that we lost, but actually it may be that in our lives we mourn more than that. Other things that we lost, our hopes and aspirations that that we've lost during the course of our lives happens. And as we come to God and we acknowledge them before our Heavenly Father, we talk to him about them, then actually maybe we find something of healing and strength and allow him into those memories, whatever they are. So, also next Sunday, here at 3 o'clock, we have a service of Evensong. I'm telling you all of this because the notice sheets didn't turn up this week, but when you get home, along with watching the service again on Facebook, you can look up the website and that'll tell you all the things which are going on that I have missed. As we sit, let's pray. Father, on this All Saints Day, we thank you, Lord, that we are saints, that we are chosen, we are called by you. And Lord, more than that, we are welcomed into your presence. Father, we thank you that you are a loving and a gracious God. You meet with us where we are, and you grant us your strength and your life and your healing. So, Father, may our worship here in church this morning be acceptable and pleasing to you. And Father, would you also be with our youngsters as they go across the hall for Tiger Club. Bless them in all they do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Oliver, you do have to wait for the amen. Okay, so I'll tell you. So our first hymn is number 525. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Number 525.
Oh,
So we follow our service on page one of our service booklets. We've gathered together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. And so we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. So as we come to confession, we take a moment of quiet to reflect on the week that has been. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect for today, All Saints' Day. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and in fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now Sue and Sally will come with our readings, and they're very special readings, so allow the words to sink into your souls past your intellect. Sue, thank you.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 9, and it's entitled A Rich Banquet. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Revelation 21. Verses 1 to 6, and it's titled, a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It's done. I'm Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the water without cost, from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Before Mary comes to preach on our gospel, next hymn, number 197, "I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand."
According to John, chapter 11, verses 32 to 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please sit down. I think a good title for this morning's talk would be 'Tis the Season to Remember, because as Mike has pointed out, we are celebrating today as All Saints' Day. And it's the season when we start, we have All Saints' Day, we have All Souls' Day, and of course next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday. But of course we also know that today also means All Saints' Eve, All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween. And no doubt you've seen lots of excited children rushing around in wonderful outfits, trick-and-treating. But all three of our readings are quite suitable in considering what is effectively a very multifaceted subject of death and resurrection for this season. And I have to say, I got myself in a bit of a sort of state sorting this talk out this week, because it is obviously not a straightforward subject, which is clearly why Mike has decided that I should preach on it. Because what we're talking about really is death and resurrection. And if there's anything more complicated than death and resurrection, then please let me know. The Book of Common Prayer talks of those departed saints who are specifically revered, those that we remember in stained glass windows, as virtuous and examples of virtuous and godly living. But if we think of them in the context of simply stained glass window images or the dusty ashes of the past and that are irrelevant to us, then we're grossly misunderstanding their continuing association with us. In All Saints' Day, we are remembering not only those revered saints, and those with titles, but also all saints whose names are generally forgotten, but who, as the Book of Common Prayer tells us in the communion service, are gathered up in the church militant. So it's a day to remember the unremembered, the nameless multitude of the faithful, the communion of saints, both in heaven and on earth, and if you happen to be a Roman Catholic, also in purgatory. Now, I could go on at this point and tell you about how the Reformation tore away the faithful from their understanding of death and the afterlife, but I don't think you will thank me for doing that. So we will move on from that. But if you want some understanding of the profound shift in the theology at the time of the Reformation and the subsequent ministering at funerals, then a good place to start is, in fact, Shakespeare's Hamlet. So moving swiftly on from that subject, we turn to our readings for today, which are in tune with the season of remembering and remembrance. The words from Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, He, i.e. God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And these are familiar words to us both from funerals and remembrance services. Now, according to James Bond, we only live twice. Once at our birth and the second when we look death in the face. And if you've seen the latest film, it's called No Time to Die, but I'll leave you to go and see that one. According to our gospel reading about Lazarus, we learn that it is possible to die twice. We're not told what Lazarus thought about being returned to life or what he thought about experiencing death for a second time. But this is one of the most dramatic moments of Jesus' ministry and life. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, which we'll find in Mark chapter 5, he ordered almost everyone out of the room, and when it was over, he told the witnesses, not to tell anyone. By contrast, in this account, he stands in front of a large crowd, puts his reputation on the line by calling Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And Lazarus duly does. What a moment that must have been. Just put yourself in that crowd for a moment and think what your thoughts would be. Surprisingly, it isn't the raising of Lazarus back to life that is the most extraordinary part of the passage, but the link between that and the resurrection. Firstly, we have the unanswered comment from Martha, the fussing, anxious sister of Mary. "Master," she says, "you can't take away the stone. There'll be a smell." She knew perfectly well that her brother, having been dead by this time for some 4 days, would have started to decompose, particularly in the heat of the area. And this is the reason why in many hot countries, burials take place within 24 hours of death, and is a requirement of both Jews and Muslims. John doesn't provide us with Jesus' response other than the oblique comment, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" In other words, if she believes, she will see God's glory. Somehow what he is going to do will achieve that. The nature of being remains mysterious, elusive. The story of Lazarus' death and return to life shows us that the power of Jesus over life and death does suggest that Jesus could have chosen not to die himself. Earlier on in the chapter, we are informed of when he's informed of Lazarus' illness, Jesus' response was, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And yet Jesus then remained in that place beyond the Jordan for a further 2 days. By crossing back into Judea and raising Lazarus, he provides the authorities with the prime and immediate cause of his condemnation. You could say that in effect he was crossing from this world to the Father by that action. The irony of the event is that it was above all Jesus' gift of life that immediately led people to put him to death. Jesus is the light as shown in healing the blind. More profoundly, he is the life shown in raising Lazarus to life. This, the last and greatest of his miraculous signs, remains a sign, a promise of what he will do when glorified. But it is a sign that touches closely on reality. The natural life given here is a pledge of the supernatural life to be given by the glorified Christ. The actual description of the miracle clearly recalls Jesus' early promise. "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice," i.e. that of the Son, "and they who have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life." The crowd will cry out 4 times when calling for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus cries out to give life, his enemies to bring death. Note that Lazarus emerges from his tomb encased in his burial clothes. Jesus will emerge from his tomb with his neatly stowed in the tomb, because Lazarus will need his burial clothes again, whilst Jesus will not. To try and understand the message better and the other part of the puzzle, we need to look at the darker aspect of the story. When Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, writes about what is corruptible or perishable, he's not talking about moral decay, but rather the disintegration of the physical body. John emphasizes the fact that Lazarus was well and truly dead, rather than simply sleeping, when Jesus approached Bethany with Martha's words, "Lord, there is already a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus has the power to rescue it and the man Lazarus from that decay. The resurrection body, in contrast, that Jesus, Lazarus, and in time us, will assume will not be like that. Neatly, our Revelation reading reinforces John's message at the end of time, the end of history. Chapter 21 envisages the end of death, and Isaiah 2 was inspired by a similar vision. In the mind of Isaiah, food and drink were not pointers to moral indulgence, but instead, like the resurrected body, they were transformed into images of divine generosity, of the life that is promised to those who keep the faith. And this can only occur if physical disintegration has come to an end, and when instead Christ will make all things new in the New Jerusalem, where there will be, as John Donne wrote in 1627, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity. In our current times, we're not much given to reflecting on the resurrection of the body. Our society has pretty much shielded us from the visible processes of dying and death. But if you look at the art and poetry of earlier times and wander around churchyards, looking at the monuments, you get a better sense that death is all around us, and that there is never a bad time to remember that in the midst of life we are in death. But at least on All Saints' Day, we remember too that in the midst of death, we are in life. Christians have only one way to obtain the victor's crown of gold, together with the great crowd of witnesses who Christ, by faith, before the world confessed. The light withers and yet Christian hope burgeons, preparing us for life eternal. So what's the takeaway message from this undoubtedly complex subject? According to the final chapters of Revelation, God chooses to make his home with redeemed humanity. The beautiful vision of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God illustrates God's desire for all human beings to find their true home with one another. Or to put it another way, to be saints, living icons in God's presence. This can only occur in an act of new creation. See, I am making all things new. There will be judgment against those who reject the call to holiness and holiness with God and one another. Those who reject God's trust cannot endure the holy city. But ending on a positive note of hope, in life eternal, we shall carry up our affections to the mansions prepared for us above, where eternity is the measure, felicity is the state, angels are the company, the Lamb is the light, and God is the portion and the inheritance. Now that sounds pretty good to me, and I hope it does to you too. Amen.
Let us open our hearts and minds to pray. Holy God, take us and make us holy. Make us yours and make us obedient. Make us faithful. Make us joyful. Make us to be numbered with your saints in that glory which is everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join our praises with all who have kept the faith, all who have been loyal and true, all who have served and witnessed, all who have been holy and examples to us. Lord, make your church a holy church, a praying church, a giving church, a serving church. We give thanks for the saints who have inspired us. May we be an inspiration to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Some of your saints, Lord, explode before us like giants. Peter, upon whom the church is founded. Paul, who took faith to the known world. And Augustine, that great theologian, philosopher, and thinker, so far ahead of his time. Thank you for the dazzling faith of the great saints. Keep the church ever in awe of such men and women, and always ready to learn from them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Others of your saints, like prophets, have told the truth, sparing no one, confronting both leaders and nations with the unchanging demands of justice and never-ending possibility of peace. Men like Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu. Thank you for the courage that few of us could ever show, but all of us can recognize as divine. May we be strengthened by their lives and empowered to face our own lesser challenges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who have led us into the ways of holiness, for all who have shared their vision and their love. And we pray for all who give their time and talents in the service of others. We remain like small candles in what can sometimes seem to be immense darkness. Our light is sometimes short, giving out when we're least prepared. But we know that there breaks a yet more glorious day, and our hesitant light will be swallowed up in lasting glory. So keep us confident in the good that even our small candles can do as we hold out before our family, friends, and neighbours the promise of your love and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. If our memories should start to fade as we grow older, we pray, Lord, that you'll keep us very much aware of the noble line we have joined and the privilege of hanging on to the back of the communion of saints. Enrich the poverty of our love and commitment. Inflame our hearts with the passion we once had, and keep us close to the fire from which all the saints have drawn their holiness. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Mary and David, thank you. I'd like to turn to page 3 in your service booklets, and we stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed on page 3. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And then next hymn, number 200 in our Songs of Fellowship, I am the bread of life and I will raise him up. Number 200. Service in the service booklets on page 13 with the fourth of our Eucharistic prayers. Bishop Desmond Tutu said that we are like light bulbs. Our task is to stay screwed in. So that's what we're doing here. We're connecting with the life-giving blood, body and blood of Christ. So the Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. For it is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Our service continues on page 17 with the prayer that our Lord himself taught us, Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We say together the prayer after communion at the top of page 18. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And some of you will have been waiting for our final hymn, because it's number 109, For All the Saints. There've been a couple of allusions to it during the course of our service. And we'll sing the first three verses and the last three verses. So we will get home in time for lunch. So the last three verses of For All the Saints, and we receive our offertory during this hymn.
Thank you.
Please do join us for tea and coffee in the sanctuary immediately after our service. So our grace. God who has called you is faithful. May the Father whose glory fills the heavens cleanse you by his holiness and send you to proclaim his word. May Christ, who has ascended to the heights, pour upon you the riches of his grace. May the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, equip you and strengthen you in your ministry. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.